Once again, we're in the parable of the sower. We'll wrap that parable up, that series up next Sunday. And today we're going to look once again at verses 16 through 23. Hear Jesus' words. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet it has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father in heaven, I would ask that you would cause your Holy Spirit to fall upon us and open our eyes and our ears that truly we may see and hear, that you would increase our appetite for your word, that it might transform us even this day, especially as we consider coming to your table. We ask, Father, that you would bless us as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you haven't been here in the last few weeks, we started a series on the parables. We're in the middle of the parable of the sower. This parable is primarily about one thing. That is that people don't see and hear God, his word. Jesus, so that he could be seen, moved out into a boat. And there he sat down, and from that boat he began to teach the people this parable. In doing so, he described four soils, three that are not good and one that is good. It's good because it hears and understands the word and bears fruit. And that is the soil that every Christian exists in. It's the good soil that causes a heart to bear fruit. The other hearts are hard and they're unfruitful. This is a very important message for us in a culture like ours, so saturated in the Bible Belt, that we understand clearly what it was that Jesus was teaching. He was teaching that there are many who hear but don't hear, and many who see but don't see. And so the challenge for anyone who hears this and sees this is to walk away and wonder, am I in good soil? And if you are, you know you are, and you celebrate the work that God has done. Last week, I shared with you the idea that there are seven signs of good soil. We got through the first four, and this morning, before we come to the table, I'm going to take us through the next three. But in case you weren't here or you need a little bit of reminding, I'm going to quickly rehearse the first four again. The first sign of good soil is persuasion of the Holy Spirit. Persuasion of the Holy Spirit is the idea, the truth, that we will never embrace God's word as authoritative, as true, as Christ-centered, as truly living and active, unless the Spirit of God has persuaded and enabled us to do so. No one comes to Christ unless the Holy Spirit, working behind the scenes, causes them to embrace it. And so that's the first sign of good soil. The second sign is what I call repentance unto life. Here's the idea that we're moving in one direction in our life. And as we're walking, suddenly through the Holy Spirit's persuasion, we initially repent. Something has happened to us to cause us to see that we're separated from God. So an initial repentance is born, and we turn and we move a different direction. It's back towards God. But that repentance isn't only initial, it's also continual. That as we grow in our faith, as the Spirit reminds us of other sins, we continually repent, repent unto life. The third sign of good soil is that there's a growing hunger for God's word. Like the psalmist, we begin to pant for it. In fact, it's unlike many subjects in that the more time you spend with it, you don't grow bored, but you begin to want more, more understanding, more memorization. But ultimately, leading to the fourth sign, more application. That you don't simply want knowledge for knowledge's sake. You want to begin to do that which God's word is demanding. And it demands everything. And so people who are simply saying, well, I believe in God's word, yet their life doesn't look like they're applying what they're hearing, there's a disconnect that's there. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned those people that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons? And I will say to them, away from me, I never knew you. They were hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. James warns of the same thing. Let us not simply be hearers or listeners, but doers. So the sign of good soil is biblical application. Every Sunday that you come to church, every time you're in a Bible study, every time you listen to someone preach, you ought to expect a transformation. God's Spirit moving in you to change you or to give you the desire to be changed. I know sometimes we don't want to give up our sin, but part of the fruit is we hate that, or we hate that we don't hate that. Well, now let's look at the next three signs. The fifth one is this. Every believer in good soil has evidence of fruit. Period. Every believer in Jesus Christ produces fruit. It's impossible not to. Because Jesus said in John 15, it is to my Father's glory, and Jesus is always about the Father's glory. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Now listen to the second part. So proving to be my disciples. How is it we prove we're his disciples? By seeing the fruit that's born in our life. How do we produce the fruit? There's only one way. By abiding in Christ. Jesus said it in that teaching. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we try to put fruit on ourselves, it might look good from a distance, but it would be as if it was fake fruit glued to a tree. We can only have fruit born out of our lives if we are abiding in Christ. And a sign of good soil is fruit will be present. There's evidence of it. How do you see it? Well, you can see it in your own life. Other people can see it in you as well. It's actually quite beautiful. You know what's beautiful about being a pastor of a church is that you get to look out at people. People who are in good soil. People who are repenting because they're not in good soil. And you can see the fruit that's in their life. What is the fruit I'm talking about? If you have your Bible, open to Galatians 5. If you don't have your Bible, I'm about to slap you. This is going to sting a little. I didn't say it in the last service, but I think you didn't bring your Bible because you're lazy. Or you don't think it matters. Or you're really not that into it. Brothers and sisters, no excuse not to bring your Bible. If it's too heavy, call someone and have them help you carry it. If it's simply because you couldn't find it, think about that this week. What are your children seeing if you come to church without your Bible? They're seeing a person who has become accustomed to a neat little bulletin with the words printed. Bring your Bible. It shows that you matter. Think of it this way. The Word of God is a sword. This is your weapon. It's the only offensive weapon mentioned. Which would you rather carry, this or this? It's the Word of God. Bring it. That you might write in it. You might underline it. You might highlight it. You get my point? It's difficult when I say turn to a passage and I hear everybody reaching for their pew Bibles. If you're visiting this day, I don't want to offend you. It's not meant for you. It's meant for those who come every Sunday and don't bring their Bibles. Bring them. If you don't have one, I'd be happy to buy you one downstairs in our bookstore. So Galatians 5, turn there. Now listen, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. The things that are being mentioned here by Paul are sins. They're sins of the world. It's noise. But when you're in the Word of God, you're applying it to your life, there's fruit being born that's different than these things. And Paul mentions it. Listen to what it is. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This fruit that Paul mentions is what I'm talking about. When we abide in Christ, this fruit begins to be born in our life. People can see it. And what happens is this. The sound of the world and all the noise of the world and everything the world would say pursue and all the sin that the world would offer suddenly becomes quieter. And God's word becomes louder. It begins to inform the way you see things, the way you relate to those you work with, the way you relate to those in your family, the way you relate to enemies. Take, for example, work. Have you found yourself ever in a situation as a Christian where your temptation is to compromise or to enter into something you shouldn't enter into as a Christian because the opportunity seems so good? As you grow in your faith, the sound of the world which says, do this no matter what, that you might exceed or have success, quietens. And all of a sudden, the sound of God's word, joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, rises and you begin to make different decisions in your work life. It's true in relationships as well. I know you've been wounded and hurt by somebody, but Jesus teaches us to love. And if you're in good soil, suddenly the noise of bitterness and anger, self-righteousness, entitlement begins to soften. And the noise of loving as Christ called us to love overcomes that. In Psalm 119, if you brought your Bible, turn there. In verse 97, we hear the psalmist speaking about the way in which his love for the law impacts the way he thinks about all of his life. Verse 97 of Psalm 119 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Well, if it's his meditation all the day, that means the sound of the world is being refuted by the meditation of God's word. There's fruit that's born. He writes, your commandments makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. But listen to this, Psalm 104, 119, 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That's what happens with God's word. It gets louder, and the fruit that's born begins to be a hatred against any way that is not God's way. You see, a garden is designed to produce fruit. And as it's producing fruit, it hates, the good soil hates that which is impure, that which would choke it out, that which would spoil it. That's why it's confusing to me that so many who profess to be Christians are satisfied living a life that they would say is choked or lukewarm. The design by God is that his people bear much fruit. Well, one of the fruits is that we grow in our hatred of sin. I ask you this morning, do you hate your sin? Or do you hate that you don't hate your sin? Do you mourn your sin? Or do you mourn that you're not mourning over your sin? That in itself is a sign of fruit. For those who don't mourn over mourning, I'm not sure their hearts are really of good soil. I don't see that as fruit. Well, the sixth sign of good soil is this, that the good soil is blessed by God. That sounds rather obvious and I think probably easy to forget. So I want to remind you of what Jesus said back to the parable. In verse 16 of Matthew 13, Jesus said, but blessed are you, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Here's what I want you to understand. You and me would never be able to see on our own. We would never be able to hear God's word on our own. So if we're in good soil, it's because he has placed us there. And he has opened our eyes to see and opened our ears that we might hear. And so he teaches the disciples, blessed are you. Blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. Don't forget that. Sometimes we grow bored of the word of God. Sometimes we get lazy. Be reminded of what it is. Be reminded of the blessing that he has given you, opening your eyes to see it and hear it. If it's not there, pray that he would give you that. This is so important, and here's why. He is the Word. The Father is the vine dresser. We are in Christ. Here's what happens. He designs us to bear much fruit. Paul taught us in Philippians that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Do you understand? What he has started, he will finish. Period. So if you are in Christ, you will bear fruit from now until eternity. Lastly, last sign of good soil is that good soil is regularly exposed to the means of grace. Regularly exposed to the means of grace. What does that mean? Any good gardener tells you that you must take care of the soil of God's incredible parable here that's good has the means of grace attached to it. This table is a means of God's grace. The preaching of the word is a means of God's grace. Prayer is a means of God's grace. It's ways in which we are given fertilization, so to speak, nutrients, things that will help us to grow. And those who are in good soil are often eager to have themselves exposed to good soil. I'm not sure if you're interested in such things as this, but if you enjoy going to state fairs in the fall, there was one held in September of 2007, which is in some ways unforgettable. Joe Jutris brought a pumpkin to that state fair in hopes that he would set the world record for the largest pumpkin ever grown. Speaking of pie, this pumpkin would produce 900 pumpkin pies. That's a big pumpkin. 1,689 pounds. Broke the world record by 187 pounds. In a little bulletin, so to speak, about how to grow such a pumpkin, he titled it this: Good Seed, Good Soil, Good Luck. Presbyterians, at least good Presbyterians, don't use the word luck. It would be titled, Good Seed, Good Soil, Good Providence. God, in his providence, has given us the good soil. He has given us the good seed, and he has given us good means of grace to continue to enhance our spiritual growth. That's why if you come into this sanctuary Sunday after Sunday without a Bible, without the expectation of really being changed, something is not working right in your spiritual life. The table that's before us is to feed us. It's to remind us of who we are and what he has done. It's to cause us to leave encouraged that he, Jesus, has done everything necessary that we might be in good soil, that we might bear fruit and bring the Father glory. And why? So that we might have the joy of Christ. The joy of Christ. The table behind me, it's not a Presbyterian table. It's God's. It's for every person who professes faith in Jesus Christ. This table, though, is not for those who have not professed faith in Christ. The reason is because the Apostle Paul said, we are not to partake of it lightly. We are to contemplate the reality of the table. And if we are to eat it without professing first faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, we are eating and drinking judgment upon ourselves. So what I'm doing now is called fencing the table. It's encouraging all those who are believers in Jesus Christ to come. Consider the condition of your soul and what God has done, but come. Come and feast on the body and blood of Christ, fully sufficient for your salvation. but for those who have not yet professed faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there are some here today. I don't look on you with judgment. I look to bring you hope. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. And so I ask that you would let these elements pass you by this moment and give deep, sincere thought to where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are eager to be in good soil, then this day pray, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and open my ears, that like the good soil, I might understand. I might hear and do that which you have called me to. And then come again and celebrate as one confident in the love of Christ. Before we come to the table, I would like for everyone just to be still for a moment or two and privately confess your sins, but also confess your hope in Jesus.